circle around him. "There is a girl being brought to you, Sameldanach," said Kariste. "She is young and full of life." "And shall remain so," declared the Lord Knight. "I have no need of nourishment."
"With respect, Lord," said Edryn, "I think you are wrong."
"You think I need aid to kill a cripple?"
"It is not that, Sameldanach. It is just, you are behaving strangely. Indeed, there are similarities between your actions and those of our brother Cairbre. We fear for you."
"I will have you all with me," said Sameldanach. "I will carry the strength of your souls." Joannin leaned forward.
"Is all well with you? You have not seemed at ease since you returned from the king."
"At ease? No. You are correct, Joannin. I think we all need to return to the Vairi. As soon as Elladan is dead and the rebels routed, we will go home. Now I have need of your strength for the combat ahead."
The knights bowed their heads, and Sameldanach felt their souls flowing into his body. A long time ago the transfusion would have filled him with many emotions. Now he felt only the rawness of power. Rising, he moved to the tent entrance. The sun was rising. He looked back at the silent, still figures. Their lives depended now on his skill. Across the valley, Elladan sat with Hlor, Erin, Ubadai, and Manannan. Lamfada moved to join them.
"I thank you for this miracle," said Elladan. "Even if I die today, it will be as a whole man."
"I am glad for you," said Lamfada, uneasily. "I hope it was the right deed."
"Why should it not be?" Manannan asked. "It gives us hope in the battle with the demon."
Lamfada opened his mouth to speak, but the words would not come.
"Tell us, Manannan," said Hlor. "What will Sameldanach be doing now?"
"He will be preparing, as we are preparing, and he will enter the field as the One."
Glancing at the faces around him, he saw they did not understand him.
"It is a mystic ritual. All his knights give him their souls, their strength, their beliefs, the very essence of themselves. If he dies, they all die."
"And this makes him stronger?" asked Hlor.
"Of course."
"Then should we not do the same?" suggested Erin.
"You do not know how, and I do not have the years to teach you," replied Manannan.
Lamfada rose to his feet.
"I can help you with that," he said softly.
"I can join you. But the risks are very great."
"Do it," Manannan told him.
"No," cried Elladan. "It is a burden I could not bear. To risk death myself is one matter, but to know that all of you could die? No, I will not agree."
"I am not a brave man," said Erin, "but the cause is more important than the lives of five men, and if we can give you strength, then let us do it."
Elladan looked from one to another.
"Only if all are agreed," he said, switching his gaze at last to Ubadai. "You speak, my friend. Always you are silent at our meetings. And yet, when Erin led his troop into the enemy camp, you insisted on going with him. You never shirk danger. I would value your counsel."
Ubadai grinned.
"I say no, and it is no." "Exactly," said Elladan.
The nomad turned to Erin.
"You want this?"
"I do."
"You too?"
Ubadai asked Hlor.
The warrior shrugged. "I don't know what extra strength I can supply, but yes, I am willing."
"All is madness,"
said the nomad.
But I am mad too, angry mad. Let us kill the Horsan together.
Lamfada walked to the center of the circle and sat down. I want you all to join hands, he said. Then close your eyes and picture Elladan in your minds.
Lamfada's spirit rose from his body. He covered the circle in a glowing sphere of gold and moved to Mananan, then to Clor and Erin, and finally to Ubadai.
Elladan felt the influx of power from the once knight in a surge of confidence that bordered on arrogance. The strength of a man who had never been bested in battle flowed through him. But he rode above it, for he had lost, and in that knowledge of despair lay strength. Clor's soul came next, and with it the extraordinary endurance of the common man, born without wealth or privilege, yet possessing the ability to withstand the many and varied perils of this bloody time. Like an oak was Hlor deep-rooted and enduring. Erin followed. Nobility of spirit and the courage to overcome his fears flowed with him. Lastly, the nomad Ubadai, fiercely loyal to the master he loved and ready to die to protect him.
Elladan's eyes opened and he gazed at Lamfada.
You did well, armorer, he said. I thank you.
The other knights were lying back on the grass, scarcely breathing.
Rising, Elladan said,
It is time, I think.
The source of all life be with you, Elladan, said Lamfada.
Elladan strode to his stallion and mounted. He saw Samuel Danach waiting, and behind him the army of the king stretching across the valley. Touching spurs to his mount, the Lord Knight of the Gabala rode down the long hill.
Samuel Danach watched as the Lord Knight of the Gabala cantered his mount towards him. He had been prepared for combat, but had not anticipated the tremendous shock of seeing his own armor on another man. Worse, he had the impression that he was watching himself ride out to battle. He remembered the sense of pride he'd experienced when first he donned the silver helm. Images ripped through his mind. Morrigan in the garden, and then dying on the floor of the king's bedchamber. Kerbera lecturing him on points of duty and honor, Kerbera in the pale coffin, Mananan debating the chivalric code, Mananan calling him a demon. Somewhere deep inside him a chain snapped, and he shook his head, fighting to force away the memories. Olathaer. Gentle Olathaer smiling at the success of a golden bird as it soared under the sun. Olathaer sagging to the ground, Samuel Danach's knife in his belly.
Stop it! Leave me alone!
Elladan dismounted and walked some yards to the left, drawing his sword and plunging it into the earth. From the forest, all around them, came the fighting men of the rebellion. Silently they marched down to sit facing the army of the king. Samuel Danach lifted his leg over the pommel of his saddle and slid to the ground.
Kill him, he thought. Return to the Vairi. There they will tend your restless spirit.
The voice of the girl child as she was led into his chambers the first time he needed nourishment came to him.
Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me.
Are you ready?
Elladan asked.
Yes, Samuel Danach answered. I am ready.
Now Morrigan's voice was echoing in his mind.
Can you not see what we have become? Oh, Samuel Danach, we are corrupting everything we touch. I loved you more than life, and now I don't even know what it means.
Don't talk. Let me bind your wrists. We can save your life.
There is nothing to save,
I died, back in the city of the Vairi, when I became one of the undead. Just like you, my love.
What is wrong with you? Draw your sword, said Elladan.
The dark blade snaked into the air, and Elladan blocked, but only just in time, and the combat commenced. He fought for his life against the greatest swordsman he had ever known. Kerbra had been more than talented, but Samaldanak's skill was astounding. Speed, balance, and lightning reflexes confounded all Elladan's attempts to attack. The dark sword crashed against his breastplate, smashing a hinge and severing the brass-edged leather straps. The armor sagged. Elladan ducked under a sweeping blow and thundered a stroke against Samaldanak's shoulder that ripped loose a crimson plate. Samaldanak staggered back.
What happened to that glorious young knight?
Whispered Morrigan from the caverns of his soul. The dark blade flashed forward, but Elladan blocked it with ease and sent a counter that tore through a curved hip plate, sending it spinning to the grass. Samaldanak returned to the attack with a riposte of blistering speed, his sword ripping into Elladan's helm. Stars exploded before the Lord Knight's eyes, and his vision swam. He hurled himself back and, more by luck than skill, blocked a sweep that would have torn his head from his shoulders. Samaldanak moved in for the kill, and stopped.
Please don't hurt me,
came the child's voice from his memory.
Leave me alone,
screamed Samaldanak. Elladan staggered and drew a deep, shuddering breath. His vision cleared, and he saw his opponent staring at the sky.
Leave me alone, Samaldanak.
The Red Knight swung.
I'll kill you,
he shouted, and once more the battle was joined. Elladan fought off the frenzied attack, landing counterblow after counterblow against the crimson armor. A great crack appeared down the center of Samaldanak's breastplate, and his visor was hacked away. Yet still, he came on. A second blow loosened Elladan's helm, which twisted, partially blocking his vision. Samaldanak ran in, holding his great blade double-handed. Elladan ducked sharply, and the hissing sword swept over his head. Off balance for the first time, Samaldanak stumbled to the earth. Elladan swiftly dropped his sword and lifted clear his damaged helm. Bareheaded, he gathered his blade as Samaldanak regained his feet.
You are not me,
screamed Samaldanak.
You can never be me.
I would not wish to be,
replied Elladan, staring into the haunted eyes of the Red Knight.
None of us is what we would wish to be, said Samaldanak. And now, it is time for you to die.
His sword hissed down with tremendous force, and Elladan dropped to his knees, sweeping his blade above his head to block the killer blow. The swords clanged together, and Elladan's silver blade snapped a foot above the hilt. Samaldanak's sword swept up, his eyes gleaming with the joy of triumph.
What happened to that glorious young knight?
Samaldanak froze, and swiftly Elladan rammed the broken sword through the crack in the Red Knight's breastplate, plunging it deep into his chest. Blood welled from the wound, spilling over Elladan's hand. Samaldanak staggered, but the dark blade rose again above Elladan's unprotected head. Down it flashed, to stop an inch short of Elladan's neck. The blade tapped gently on Elladan's right shoulder, then crossed to touch lightly on the left. Samaldanak dropped to his knees. Inside him all was turmoil, and he could feel the souls of his knights struggling to be free of his dying body. but he held them trapped. Elladan moved to him.
"Why did you let me live?"
he asked.
"Why?
What happened to that glorious young knight?"
"I died a long time ago," whispered Samuel Danach, falling forward into Elladan's arms.
The Lord Knight laid the corpse on the grass and rose to a roaring cheer from the rebels. A stout, middle-aged man walked out from the king's army. He halted before Elladan and bowed.
"My name is Kar Shen. The war is over, Sir Knight. I offer myself and my regiments to your cause."
"I have no cause," said Elladan.
"I am the Lord Knight of the Gabala."
"Welcome back," greeted Kar Shen.
Epilogue. Hlor Givers refused the opportunity to march on Firbolg and seize the crown, and Kar Shen returned to the city and the ebony throne. Erin and Ubadai surrendered their armor and rode back to Erin's estates. Kar Shen gave Erin the Duchy of Maktha, and the new duke asked Shira to be his duchess. She pondered the proposal for 4 months, and they were married in the Temple of Firbolg on the last day of autumn. Arion and Hlor were wed in a simple ceremony attended by Baklar, Ramoth, and the other rebel leaders, after which they journeyed deep into the mountains to build a home, where the air was clean, the rivers pure, and the stars close. Lamfada renounced his role as armorer and became the Dagda, the guardian of the colors. He roamed the forest of the ocean as a healer and a seer, and waited 94 years, 11 months, and 3 days to pass on the mantle to surprised youth who did not want it. Elladan and Manannan rode through the Black Gate to aid the nomads brought as victims for the Vairi. They did not return.
You've been listening to Knights of Dark Renown by David Gemmell, read by Ben Onwukwe. Text copyright David A. Gemmell, 1989. Production copyright Ashet Audio, 2017. This has been an Ashet Audio production.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.